Okay, we're going to start here on the top of Lamed Amud Aleph. The Gemara is continuing to discuss the issue of Tefillah Tederach. We started this sugya yesterday, and today we're going to delve more deeply into the issues of Tefillah Tederach. We saw Amar Rav Yaakov, Rav Chisda, that Zu Tefillah Tederach, which was what Eliyahu Hanavi had suggested to Rav Yehuda, Achua, to Rav Salah Chasido, that Eliyahu had suggested before you go out on the Derech, that you should speak to Hashem. You should supplicate before Hashem. And we saw that that was Tefillah Tederach. The Gemara said, my Tefillah Tederach. And then we had a Nusach that was laid out for what Tefillah Tederach was. And then, after we saw that Nusach, which was in the singular form, we had a Baye come along and say, you shouldn't daven in the singular, you should daven in the plural form. And we discussed that yesterday. Now the Gemara moves on and says, Emat Matzli. When do you say Tefillah Tederach? So it's on the third line down on the top of Lamed Amud Aleph. So I'm Rabbi Yaakov, I'm Rabbi Chisda. When he sets out on his way, ad kamo, how much? I'm Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Chisda, ad parsa, the amount of a parsa for meal. So this question, it's unclear what the Gemara is asking, and unclear what the Gemara is answering, and therefore the Rishonim argue about exactly what transpired over here. Rashi says, when the Gemara says, ad kamo, that's qualifying the previous statement, which was, the question posed, mishash malech baderech, from the time that he sets out on his way, that's when he says, tefillah tederech. Ad kama. What is called setting out on your way? That's how Rashi reads it. The answer is ad parsa. First parsa is considered to be setting out on your way, and therefore you'd have to say tefillah tederach within the first parsa of leaving. That's Rashi's interpretation. The Bahag says that the question's independent. They had a question which was, when do you say tefillah tederach? Misham shalech vaderach, when you set out on your way. Ad kama is an independent question, which is, how long or how far does the journey have to be in order to be chayav in Tefillah Tederach? The answer to that question is parsa. That if the journey's duration will be a parsa, then you're chayav in Tefillah Tederach. You have a machloket Rashi in the Bahag as to what the meaning of this question of kama is, and ad parsa, the answer being, whether it's talking about how far into your journey are you allowed to say Tefillah Tederach, or is it telling you the duration of journey that obligates you to say Tefillah Tederach. So Tabina Be'yonu quote both opinions, but they do modify Rashi's opinion, and they say that it's true, the chatkila, you should say Tefillah Tederach within the first parsa, but b'di'evet, even beyond that, you could say Tefillah Tederach, as long as you're not within one parsa of your destination, because you're always in sakana. The whole idea of Tefillah Tederach is that there is still sakana, and once you've set out on the way, you're still in that sakana, even though you passed the first parsa. That doesn't obviate you of the need to say Tefillah Haderech. So just quickly, this is a question that comes up in general whenever the Gemara gives terminologies like this of ad parsa. First question you have to ask is that a time or is that a distance? Does it mean here, and a parsa is for meal, which is roughly 72 minutes, is the Gemara's definition of this duration 72 minutes? Or is the Gemara's definition here a parsa, no matter how long it takes you to go? Obviously that has major nafkamino today, which is that if you get into a car, get into a train, when is it considered to be a parsa? How far do you have to go in order for it to be considered an obligation for Tefillah Tederach, or until when can you say Tefillah Tederach according to Rashi? Now the Shulchan Aruch, when it comes to Paskin, says the Paskin's like both Shitot, which is basically, you have to have a minimum of a parsa in order to be Chayav, plus you should do it within the first parsa. The Paskin's both like Rashi and the Bahag. Mishnah Berurah says that the din of the parsa is a din of distance, not of time. And therefore, as long as you travel a parsa, and over here he mentions the Misilat HaBarzel trains, that as long as you're traveling the distance of a parsa, even though the duration is not that of 72 minutes, you would be chayav. Rov of the Poskim, as well as the Achronim, agree to that. Rav Avad Yosef does not agree, and Rav Avad Yosef says it's 72 minutes. And therefore, for Bnei Sfarad, the Sfaradim will not say it's Tefillah Tederach unless they have a trip of a duration of 72 minutes in order to be chayav in Tefillah Tederach. The other thing that the Mishnah Berurah mentions, which is important, is that you're not chayav in Tefillah Tederach until you leave the city. And the city is the settled city, and Ibura, and that which surrounds the city, the suburbs or the areas around the city. So until you've exited the city, one is not chayav in Tefillah Tederach. And there is a tshuva in the Minchat Shlomo, where he talks about traveling from Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv. And in traveling in those areas, he says that along the route, almost the entire route, there is yishuv. There's settled areas along the way. There are people living there. He doesn't see possibly that one should say Tefillat HaDerech, because the danger that's being discussed in the Gemara over here is danger involved in being away from the Yishuv, leaving the city. And the whole idea is that you set on a journey where you leave the city. Once you've left the confines of the city, or the sphere of the city, then you're Chayav and Tefillat HaDerech, because there's nobody there to help you. And so, Rav Shlomo Zalman mentions a number of things. Number one is that there are houses all the way along. And number two is, he says, there are police floating up and down the highway, checking up on people and making sure things are okay. Based on that, one is not in such danger, and therefore may not be obligated in saying Tefillat HaDerech in these instances. Rav Sternbach, on the other hand, mentions that when he traveled from, let's say, Tel Aviv, Bnei Brak to Modi'in, or Bnei Brak to Bnei Shemesh, that over there he might not say Tefillat HaDerech with Shem Omachut. He would say it without a bracha, because of the same idea of Rav Shlomo Zalman. On the other hand, if he traveled from Bnei Brak to Yerushalayim, he would say Tefillat HaDerech. And that is because, he says, once I reach around Shar Hagai, I don't see houses on either side. I'm at a point where I don't feel that sense of civilization around me. Right. Although it's getting harder and harder now. As Modi'in expanded and Shalavim expanded, all those areas expanded, now they have more houses all the way along the way. But he says that there's a point where he reaches, where he does not see any more houses, and he says, Tefillat HaDerech B'Shem Malchut over there. Again, Bad Yosef says that if it doesn't take 72 minutes, then there is no Tefillat HaDerech. And therefore, right, so now, depending on what time of day you go, it might take you 72 minutes to get from Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv, and then you might be obligated because of that, because then you've covered both the distance and the amount of, distance as well as the amount of time that is required. So that's a difference in the Achronim. Some of the other Achronim or the Poskim, like the Shiva Levi talks about within the city. Maybe that within the city today, there's much danger as there is outside of the city. Because today, when you're talking about danger, one's not thinking about danger like in their day, which is wild animals, marauders, being ambushed on the way. That's not the danger that you're thinking about today. The dangers that you're thinking about today are car accidents, tumat drachim, other obstacles, things that can happen that really don't relate to being inter-city, but can even be intra-city. That the same dangers that you're posed by going on the highway are also posed by being inside of the city. And so the Shevet HaLevi wants to suggest maybe you should say Tefillat HaDerech in the city. Now, he's not willing to go that far because he says clear that the Takanat Chachamim was only once you left the city. But he says at least once you've left the city, you should say Tefillat HaDerech because those dangers appear. And I think Rav Yoel Binun also mentions that today, since the Ikar problem is Tunot Achim, dangers, accidents along the way, therefore one should say Tefillat HaDerech if they're going the requisite distance. And they're going on the highways where the greatest loss of life in Israel today is car accidents and being on the road. So he says that's a significant danger, and that danger should obligate one in saying Tefillat HaDerech. Both he and Rav Shlomo Zalman say, if you're passing by Arab villages who at the current time are not friendly, then one should definitely say Tefillat HaDerech, because that is much more akin to what the Gemara was speaking about, where you really are, in a sense, putting yourself in danger. Even though it's a Makom Yishuv, right? It's a Yishuv that's not friendly. It's like the Yivusi in Yerushalayim. There's an area that you don't want, nobody wanted to settle over there. So too over here, he says if these are areas that are settled, but these are people that are your enemies, then certainly in those instances, both of them agree that you should say Tefillat HaDerech. Now it comes to airplanes, which is also interesting. In terms of airplanes, when do you say Tefillat HaDerech? So if you have to, according to the Gemara, be on your way in order to say Tefillat HaDerech. So I know that many people want to suggest that you say Tefillat HaDerech. You have to wait for the plane to start moving, to take off, in order to say Tefillat HaDerech. My only hi'ara about that is that the most dangerous part of the flight is actually the takeoff and the landing. And therefore it would make sense to me that one would say Tefillat HaDerech before they took off. Maybe when they're taxiing on the ground. Anyway, in terms of an airplane, I just pointed out only because it's this week's Parsha. I think it's from the Tzafnat Petneach. I have to go back and check it again. But he wants to suggest that Tefillat HaDerech is only when you go on the Derech. The Gemara, when discussing Kiyar Karei Kan Tzipor Lefanecha, over there the Gemara discusses the different options about coming across a nest in which there are the mother bird and eggs in it. The Gemara poses different questions as to the situations. And the Gemara wants to know, well, if it was B'Shamayim, would you be obligated to do it? And the Gemara answers there that if it was B'Shamayim, that's called Derech Nisharim and not Derech. So the up in the sky and being up in Shemayim is not called the regular derech, but is a qualified derech. It's derech nisharim. And based on that, the Tzav Nach Ben Erech wants to suggest that maybe going up an airplane would not obligate one in tefillah to derech, because it's not called a derech, as Chazal defined here, rather derech nisharim. And derech nisharim is not what the Gemara is after over here. Here, the Gemara is talking about derech, has a very, very clear definition of what derech is. God bless you. So, I only mention it because it's in this week's parsha. Almost everybody else disagrees and says that if you get an airplane, you do have to say tefillah to derech. What Tzvi is pointing out, which is what I do personally in all these situations, is in the tefillah beforehand, whether it's shacharit, mincha, mariv, whenever before you're flying, that you can, within the bracha of shomea tefillah and the shmon esrei, you can add in the tefillah to derech, and then you don't have to worry about shem and malchut anymore, because the bracha already contains shem and malchut. So if you put in the bracha, put in the tefillah of tefillah to derech there, and just conclude with the bracha of shomea tefillah, like you're part of shmon esrei, then you could say it, even in situations where you're besafek. So you would be able to, in those cases, still say it, because shem and malchut no longer becomes a problem. And also you avoid the problem of having to, when you get on the derech, when you leave the city, how far, all those things are avoided in doing that. Of course, it doesn't comply to the Gemara over here of getting on the derech and being on the derech, but it does have a number of advantages in terms of not worrying about the suffix here. The next qualification here in tefillah to derech, one other thing is Rav Moshe just mentions, Rav Moshe Feinstein mentions with tefillah to derech, that it should be clear that the qualification for tefillah to derech is different than Birkat HaGomel. Birkat HaGomel has a much higher threshold in terms of benching Gomel, where you actually have to be in Sakana, you have to experience Sakana in order to do bench Gomel. Again, tefillah to derech is only about anticipation of Sakana. And therefore, the threshold for saying tefillah to derech is much lower than the threshold for benching Gomel. Although, Rav Yosef, exactly, by Rav Yosef, yeah, he almost, by any trip, says, if he qualifies for tefillah to derech, almost he qualifies for Birkat HaGomel. According to Rav Yosef benches Gomel. Anytime they go over 72 minutes, they bench Gomel. So same qualification for tefillah to derech is the same that they have for benching Gomel.
Which is part of saying Gomel.
Right. They don't, yeah. Rav Yosef does almost every time you see him, he's saying benching Gomel. But at least for the Ashkenazim, and Moshe Feinstein mentions that there should be a difference in threshold. Tefillah to derech is anticipation of sakana, and therefore even if one does not get into danger immediately, but you might think there might be danger, it's enough to say it, but this benching Gomel must be only once they've experienced sakana. Right now, the next qualification that the Gemara has over here, which is, how do you say tefillah to derech? So the Gemara says, v'hechi matzila, how do you daven it? So v'chista amar mi'umad, you have to say it standing up. V'sheshet amar afilu me'aleich, even if you're on the way. They were going on the way. Rav Chista got up and said tefillah to derech. Amalei Rav Sheshet l'shamei. Sheshet said to his servant, "My kavod Rav Chista, what's Rav Chista doing?" As Rashi points out here, why does Rav Sheshet ask me his servant? Is because Rav Sheshet was a sagi nohor. He was blind, and in being blind, he didn't know what Rav Chista was doing. So he's asking his servant, the one who was accompanying him, what's Rav Chista doing? So he says, Rav Chista, so Amalei kakayu matzli, standing up and saying tefillah to derech. Amalei ukmen nami lididi, says, help me up, and I will also say tefillah to derech. Now it's clearly against his own position. Rav Chista believed he had to stand up. Rav Sheshet didn't have to stand up. But Rav Sheshet says here, miyot tov al tikarei ra. If you have a chance to be good, don't be called bad. Now, the Gemara seems to be like quoting a pasuk over here, but as the Gemara in Baba Kama on Pei Aleph and Bet says, there is no such pasuk. Gemara says, my Quran, they quote this, and the Gemara says that there is no such pasuk. Gemara then quotes a pasuk from Mishle that says that, basically, you should try to do it. If you can do something, and there's no loss to you, and only benefit someone else, then why not? And that's exactly what Rav Sheshet is saying over here. Rav Chista stood up to say tefillah to derech now. Now, Rav Sheshet believes you don't have to stand up for it, but they're going to stop anyway, in order to Rav Chista to daven. So Rav Sheshet may as well get up and also do it like Rav Chista, even though he doesn't believe you have to do it that way. But once Rav Chista is already doing it, nothing wrong. He has nothing to lose and only to gain by doing it like Rav Chista. And that's what it means. Miotov altikarei ba. Now this reflects the next question, which is, when you're saying tefillah to derech, so you raised this the other day about driving. Almost everybody agrees that when you're driving, you shouldn't be saying tefillah to derech, because that is a distraction, dangerous. But as a passenger in a car, is a question, can you say tefillah to derech as the passenger in the car? Rav Sternbach relates that when he gets to Shar Hagai, he has the driver pull over, he gets out of the car, and he says tefillah to derech mumad on the side of the road. To stop. Right. Very good. I think it's Rav Yoel Binun also over there suggests that pulling over the side of the road is unacceptable in terms of saying tefillah to derech, because you're putting yourself into danger, and you're not yishuvadat. The whole problem here is yishuvadat. If you're afraid of getting hit by another car, cars are whizzing by you, then he doesn't see that as being. He says if a person wants to say tefillah derech, they should pull off the highway completely to a place which is safe to park, and then say, because if it's all about yishuvadat. I would suggest even today that if a person's a passenger in a car, I don't see how that's not yishuvadat. I mean, in their day, when you're bouncing along in a wagon, or you're driving, so it's over there, I understand when there's no yishuv adat. Today, if you're sitting in a car as a passenger, I think that one could attain the same yishuv adat as pulling over to the side of the road and trying to stand up to, say, tefillah to derech. You shouldn't be under pressure, you should have yishuv adat, even if a person's worried about his family. I mean, if the family's in the car and he gets out of the car and he's worried about them, that's not yishuv adat. And that's a problem in terms of the whole idea here is to gain a certain amount of yishuv adat to daven. Obviously, it's somewhat subjective, but a person has to assess the situation. The other place this comes up is on an airplane. In terms of davening on an airplane, standing up. When you're in situations where it's difficult to stand up, should one stand up or not? There are those that believe that on the airplane you should try to stand up, although most of the poskim believe that if you can have yishuv adat or better davening by sitting down on the airplane, then one should put on their tefillin standing up, then sit down and daven in their seat. They should get up. Very good. So there are other issues on the airplane, including, well, so just start. When sitting in your seat, if you can't stand up to bow down, one should try to stand up. Otherwise, we saw in the Gemara previously that as long as you make a move to bow down and you show and you mitzara nafshei, that's enough. In terms of moving one's feet, you can move your feet back and forth within your seat. That shouldn't be too much of an issue. Again, the preferable way is to stand up for these issues, bowing, and for moving back and forth once you try to stand up. If you're in a car, and you pull your car over, and you're going to daven shmoneh, and you can't get out, for whatever reason you can't get out of the car, you're going to stay seated in the car and daven. In terms of moving back and forth, they suggest that maybe one should drive the car back and forth. Because in their day also, just like on a behemoth, they would move a behemoth back and forth for the three steps. Then the car, you should reverse a little and move forward. Brings it down. Back up a little bit. And he says, while you're driving, it's no question. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that you can't concentrate when you are davening as well as pikuach nefesh when you're doing that. The other considerations on the airplane are, the other one is disturbing other people, and one does not have a right to daven when it's going to affect other people, especially if there's chilul Hashem, disturbing other people. The other consideration is that most times when they daven near the bathrooms, and you have problems of re'ach ra, people entering and exiting all the time, which is a disturbance, it's impossible to concentrate. I'm saying, no, the people going to the bathrooms are going to interfere also. I'm not forgetting that you're just blocking their way to the bathroom. See, but the fact that they're exiting, entering and exiting is also going to have a question of yishuv adat. You can find open location where it doesn't block any other people, or they have a special location for people to daven. That should be just more careful on the airplanes in terms of these issues, both of you having yishuv adat and not affecting other people on the airplanes. Alright, next. Ma'ika ben avinenu tefillah k'tzara. Now Gemara wants, so we've discussed avinenu, and we've done tefillah k'tzara. What's the difference between them? Avinenu, ba'idu tzlulei, at least according to Shmuel. Avinenu, you have to daven gimel k'maito, the first three brachot, which is avot, vurot, and kedusha, the first three brachot. V'gimel b'atraita, and the last three brachot, which is ritzei, avoda, Hoda and Shalom, those three brachot at the end. V'chim atah lebeitei lo bayi lemadar letzluyei. And when you get home, you don't have to daven again, because you basically davened a proper Shmoneh Esrei. Tefillah k'tzara, lo bayi letzluyei lo gimel k'maita v'lo gimel b'atraita. There's no introduction or conclusion. V'chim atah lebeitei bayi lemadar letzluyei. When you get home, you got to daven again, because you really didn't daven Shmoneh Esrei. At least with the Havinenu, you got the first three and last three, plus you got a tamsit, you got a concentrated view of the middle 12 brachot, that's enough to be yotze. The hilchata, the ocha is Havinenu mi'umad, tefillah k'tzara ben mumad ben malech. Havinenu should say standing up. Tefillah k'tzara is whether you're standing or sitting. Again, this also contributes to the issue of having to repeat it when you get home, which is, if you do it standing up, it's more akin to Shmoneh Esrei, more yeshuva dat, and therefore when you get home, you don't have to repeat it. Tefillah k'tzara, where standing up, sitting down is an indication of less yishuv adat. That's also another reason why one would have to repeat Shmoneh Esrei when they got home. Now, ayah rochev al achomor. Tarabanan, Ayeruchev alachamor vigiazman tefillah. He's riding a donkey, it's time to daven. Imishlo mishiachez et chamuro. Here's someone who can hold on to his donkey. Yireid namato, vit below. Get off his donkey and daven. Vimlav, yeshebim komo, vit below. He should sit in place and daven, because if he doesn't do that, he's going to be so worried about the donkey running away that his tefillah is not going to be worthwhile anyway. He's going to lose his shiur to that. So better just stop the donkey in place and daven while he's still sitting on the donkey. Rabbi Omer, ben kach, ben kach, yeshev bimkomo. Rabbi says, even if you have someone to hold on to it, better off just to sit on bimkomo b'tvelv. Yishein datom yishev ralav. Person, even when someone else is holding on to it, is worried about the derech, is worried about other things that are in this environment that he's in, and therefore he should focus on his davening and sit down. Just a note, earlier on in the Masechta, when we discussed the problem of davening in an open field or an open area, one of the problems mentioned there by the Tosafot is problem of people passing by, traffic, and yishuvadat, the number of disturbances. So if you get off the donkey, it's not so clear that you get to a position where you're better off. If you're sitting on the donkey, you pull over to the side, have more yishuvadat. Amarovo, avitim rabshu ben levi, aloha karabi. Aloha zay karabi, sit in place. And this is also another indication of being on the plane, that you don't have to get down. Even a place where there's no sakana, you don't have to get out of your seat. You daven in place, if that's what gives you the yishuvadat. And you don't have to turn yourself towards Yerushalayim. It's libo keneged Yerushalayim. Turn a banan. Suma. Umishenu yakhol lechavenet ruchot. Someone who is blind or can't tell what direction they are facing. Yikaven libo keneged aviv shebashamayim. Should concentrate, focus his heart towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shenemar. As in the tefillah that Shlomo HaMelech has when he is consecrating the Mikdash. Says vitpalulu al Hashem. The only thing that matters is davening towards Hashem. He'll made bechutz laaretz. If he's outside of Eretz Yisrael, you kaveni libo keneged Eretz Yisrael, should face towards Eretz Yisrael, shenemar, v'yitpalalu eilecha derech artzam. They will pray towards you through their land. So their land, meaning coming through the land of Israel, they'll pray. So everybody will face towards Eretz Yisrael. Hayom eid b'Eretz Yisrael, you kaveni libo keneged Yerushalayim. If you're within Eretz Yisrael, should face towards Yerushalayim, shenemar, v'yitpalalu al Hashem derech ha'ir asher b'charta. They'll play to Hashem through the city that you chose. If you're standing in Yerushalayim, give me the book, connect Beit HaMikdash. She faces towards Mikdash, and every palu ala Beit HaZeh. They're going to dive towards this house, this structure. If you're in the Mikdash, you give me the book, connect Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. She dive towards the Kodesh HaKodeshim, Shneamar, Beit Palu ala Makom HaZeh, to this location material where the Shekhinah is. If he's inside the Kodesh HaKodeshim, you give me the book, connect Beit HaKoporet. Focus towards the Beit HaKaporet, towards the Aron, the middle of the Aron. Hayom made acharei Beit HaKaporet. If he's behind the Kodesh HaKodeshim, yireh atzmo ke'ilu lifnei HaKaporet. He should look as if he's in front of the Kaporet and should face towards the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Nimtza. Conclusion of this, omed b'mizrach, mazgir panav l'marav. If you're in the east, you face west. B'marav, if you're in the west, mazgir panav l'mizrach, you face east. B'darom, if you're in the south, mazgir panav l'tzafon, you face north. B'tzafon, mazgir panav l'darom. And if you're in the north, you face south. Nimtzu, kol Yisrael mekuvanim et libam lemakom echad. All of Klal Yisrael are facing a single location, whether physically or figuratively. Ami avin v'item ravina, maikora. What's the pasuk? Migdal David tzavarecha banui l'talpiot. It's like a migdal, a tower, a fortress. Your neck is like a fortress. Banui l'talpiot. Built like a hilltop. Tel, shekopiot ponim lo. So talpiot here, they dash in as a tel, is a mountain which all mouths face. All mouths face, meaning all tefillot come towards this mountain. So all the tefillot are centered in a single area around the mikdash. So here again, there's some interesting notes. First of all, the Gemara speaks about in Bavel. That in Bavel, they faced south. Why did they face south in Bavel? Because what does the pasuk say in Yirmiyahu? Mitzafon tipatachara. From the north will come the bad. When Bavel is going to come to attack you, they're going to attack from the north. So therefore, when they were in Bavel, the Gemara says that they face south, even though Bavel is mostly east of Eretz Yisrael, not north of Eretz Yisrael.
Both.
Yeah, but very slightly north and mostly east. Same thing happened in Eastern Europe and Russia. They had the exact same problem, which is they are mostly north of Eretz Yisrael, not west of Eretz Yisrael. And in these areas, they all dive in the east. Not considering that. The Mishnah Berurah already is attuned to that and realizes that. And he says that they should have their shuls in these areas be facing southeast, south or southwest, depending where they were. Not just east, because they should have them facing towards Eretz Yisrael. But he's much more attuned to the fact that until this point, they hadn't focused on this. The fact that they weren't really facing Eretz Yisrael and they faced east in these areas. The other thing to note is the Kotel. When you get to Kotel HaMaravi, we said before that if you're inside of Yerushalayim, you face the Mikdash. If you're in the Mikdash, you face the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Oh, the Kotel HaMaravi, where we're daven today, is skewed to the south of the Mikdash. And that means if one's dining in the Kotel HaMaravi, they should not face straight towards Har HaBayim, but they should tilt towards the left. The left meaning north, because the Mikdash is north of that area. So one should face northeast, but not just east, because you're not facing the Mikdash. You're supposed to be facing the Mikdash. Just a small note. The other things, which is a common problem, like right here. What happens if the shul does not face Yerushalayim? What do you do in those situations? The best thing to do is to face Yerushalayim. Despite the fact that the shul is not facing that way, Mishnah Berurah brings down one should face Yerushalayim as long as they don't put the Aron on the opposite side. I mean, you shouldn't have your back towards the Aron. As long as your back's not to the Aron, you should be able to face Yerushalayim. Oh, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. If you can't be machzir panav, if you come into the shul and everybody's facing the front, you can't go in there and start davening in a different direction. So he says over there is mitzadeh panav. You should turn your head, which is very difficult. I'm not sure. He gives us a solution. And all these times you could just turn your head. Davening with your body facing the Aron and your head turned towards Yerushalayim. It's not very comfortable. I don't know what the Mishnah with that. I know that Rabbi David mentioned it here that he says that it's fine. He doesn't mind if people daven towards Yerushalayim. He didn't want to make an obligation on the shul because there were certain seats in the shul were not easy to daven towards Yerushalayim. So he didn't want to make it that it was an obligation. He said that he's okay with people facing Yerushalayim. He doesn't think they're purish min hatzibur. So he doesn't feel that it's yura or a problem if someone does face towards Yerushalayim. But that he doesn't feel that one is obligated. From Rav Nevin saw that he feels that people have to be obligated to face Yerushalayim in that way. They can turn their heads or mikavim libam in order to do that. Right, so that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. Right, the Mishnah writes there is no din to daven towards the Aron. You shouldn't have your back to the Aron, but you should put. He says the minhag is to put the Aron in this direction of Eretz Yisrael, so you're both facing the Aron and Eretz Yisrael.
No, but it's more because the Aron is the cover.
Right, it's deference to the Aron. Yeah, it's deference to the Aron or the Torot. But he says you should line the two up in order that it should be in the same line, or the same plane. Avoid the Shmuel v'Levi. When they had to go out and travel, they used to get up early and daven. Now, how early did they get up to daven? Rashi says they got up kodem ayom, before daybreak, before Lot HaShachar. Tosafot says no way, no how. There's no way they got up to daven before Lot HaShachar. Nobody says you could daven at that time. It was clearly after Lot HaShachar, before Nates. So it was a time period where you could be chayav in tefillot, but you couldn't say kriyat shema yet. It was a time period where b'di'evit you could daven, but you still had to wait for certain things. When you reach the point of that you could see someone berichu karba amot, then they would say kriyat shema separately. So they would daven shemoneh esrei earlier and then kriyat shema later. Come on, who do they hold? Like the high tana, like this tana, the tanya. Hishkim, let's say the derech, maybe in lo shofar v'tokei alulav v'mneneya. Quite early, takes the shofar, blows it. Lulav shakes it, Megillah b'koreba. Get a Megillah, you read it, do the mitzvah. Okshigiyaz my kriyat shema kore. And when he reaches the time of kriyat shema, he'll say it later. Hishkim leishev b'karono b'sfina. He gets up early to go ride in a wagon or a boat. Mitpalel. He davens. Okshigiyaz my kriyat shema kore. When he comes to this my kriyat shema, he'll read it. So you're giving up smichut gula l'tfila in order to daven shemon esrei before you leave. And then you'll say kriyat shema later on. You should be sumech gula tefillah. That takes precedence over here. And therefore you should wait to daven until later on so that you can be sumech gula tefillah. But what's their argument about? Levi and Avuah d'Shmuel say that standing up for davening is more important. That's what gives you the concentration. That's the focus. So better daven before you leave, even though you're going to lose out on smichut gula tefillah. And Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, Smichut Gula Tefillah is adif, so therefore I'll forfeit some of the concentration in Shemoneh Esrei in order to get a Smichut Gula Tefillah. And this works well with what the Tamina Reina Yonah said earlier in the Masechta, that Smichut Gula Tefillah is not simply a nice thing to do, it qualitatively changes your Shemoneh Esrei. That your Shemoneh Esrei is a different Shemoneh Esrei when you're Smichut Gula Tefillah, so much so that if you daven another Shemoneh Esrei, and the first one you daven not Smichut Gula Tefillah, the second one you do, that's a Chiddush in your Shemoneh Esrei. And you can say that Nushman Esrei without being Mechadesh anything else in it except Smichut Gula Tefillah. So here you see that there's a competition between two qualitative changes in Nushman Esrei. The stand, where you can focus better, or Smichut Gula Tefillah, which is also a qualitative improvement in Nushman Esrei. And the question is, which one do you weigh more? And that's the question between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon Elazar. On the Shabbat of the Regel, it's not literally Chol HaMoed, but the Shabbat before the Regel, but they used to have to give the drasha. They should get together a minyan beforehand, umatzlo, and they would daven Shemoneh Esrei. Father Nafkal Pirka, and then afterwards they go out to the drasha. Ravashi matzli bad tzibura. Ravashi used to daven with the tzibur biyochid miyushav while he was sitting down. Kivat to the beit, when he got home, hadar matzli mu'uma. Then he would daven again standing up. Amrule, the Rabbanan, the Avid Mark, Mreimar Marzucha. Why don't you do like Mreimar Marzucha? Get a minion early in the morning. I'm a little trichali milted. It was too much effort. It was too difficult to get a minion early in the morning. Lavid Mark, Avu the Shmo Velevi. Why don't you all like Avu the Shmo Levi? Get up and daven. Just get up, daven biyichidot early on. Says Amrule, lo chazina lo Rabbanan kishishai minan ta'avdei hochi. There is no Rav, a Rabbanan, that are older than me that I see practicing like Avu the Shmo Levi. I don't see anybody with that misora. So I don't want to hold like them because I don't have any precedence for that. I don't have any misora to daven like that. So what Ravashi did is very interesting. Ravashi was giving the drasha. And as Ravashi says, at one point, he would feed the Meturgaman a huge amount of information. And while the Meturgaman was doing that, he would sit and daven Shemoneh Esrei on the spot while he was sitting there. So he did that. But number one, he didn't want to get up because then the people would be affected by it. And so he stayed seated. And he didn't want to interrupt the drosha, so he davened, and then when he got home, he did it again, mu'umad, and standing up with proper timing and all that, so on and so forth. But in order to accomplish smichut gulut tefila, he would daven Shemoneh Esrei, create Shemoneh Esrei in that situation, sitting down while he gave the drosha. What's interesting about all of these stories is, their practice was to darshan from early in the morning all the way through the day without any consideration of tefila. Rashi says that the people at the drasha used to slip out one by one to go daven. That the drasha just kept going and they would slip out to go and daven. That there wasn't any organized interruption in the drasha in order to daven, betzibur. Very interesting, conceptually as well as in practice, something that obviously we don't do today. Alright, so the Bahag, Tosafot brings down that Bahag, paskins like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. And there he says that you could say, because based on that, you could daven Shemoneh Esrei sitting down while you're on the derech. Even though before we said Havinenu, you have to say standing up. It also says, maybe that's a difference. Havinenu is very short, so to stop for Havinenu is not a big deal. You can say it quickly. Say a full Shemoneh Esrei on the side of the road, and to stop for that, that would take away from Yeshuva Dat, so maybe that's the difference. And the other point is over here that when he went back home, he davened standing up. The Rabbeinu Chanan, on the other hand, paskins like Avu the Shmuel Levi. The Magen Avraham says he doesn't understand why we don't paskin like Avu the Shmuel Levi. He thinks that Halacha should be like that, even though nobody else accepts that and nobody else says that. The Magen Avraham says you should daven early and forget about smichut gulut tefila. Everybody else does not agree with that. The Magen Avraham is questioning why. He doesn't understand why not. Based on the Tosafot here, he says, even though Rabbeinu Chananel passed in that way, he says the statement of Vashi is very convincing that he saw nobody with that misora. And not having anybody with that misora, he wasn't willing to practice that way, and that's why it wasn't accepted. Alright, next mission. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, in tefilat ha-musufim ela b'chever ir. Tefilat ha-musuf is only davened with the congregation, with the minyan. Whether you have a minyan or not, you daven musaf. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishmo was the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and his name. If there's a minyan davening musaf, the yachid doesn't have to daven musaf. So Mary asks Rabbi Yehuda, "Hainu Tanakama?" Rabbi Yehuda says the same thing as Tanakama. There's a minyan, right? Then there's musaf. No minyan, there's no musaf. The difference between them is if an individual in a city where there is no minyan, Tanakama savar patur. Tanakama says no minyan, no musaf. Period. Bishuda savar chayav, because there he says if you're in a city with a minyan, the yachid doesn't daven. But that means if you're in a city without a minyan, then the yachid does daven musaf. So Amar Rav Huna bar Chinina, Amar Rav Chiya bar Rav, Alocha ki Rabbi Yehuda, Shamar Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azariah. The Alocha is like him. Amar Lei Rav Chiya bar Avin Shapir ka Amart. That makes sense. To Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel says, Mi Yamai lo matzlin et zlutu de musafim bi yachid min Narda. I never daven bi yachidu et musafim in Narda. Levar mi hau yoma. There was one time, the Ata Pumusa de Malka, the king's troops came into the city, the Mata, Vashridu Rabbanan, and they caused the Rabbanan to scatter or to be preoccupied. Velo Tzalu, and there was no minion for Musaf. Vatzalu Libi Yochin, and I davened alone. Vayavi Yochin, Shalom Bechevriyir. It's a case of a Yochin davening without a Chevriyir, without a minion in the city. So, the fact that Shmuel notes this as being exceptional, and that he's davening Biyachidot, and there's no minion, that sounds like Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Yotiv Rav Chanina Kara Kamei de Rabbi Yanai. He was sitting and saying this before Rabbi Yanai. Yotiv Kamar Alocha k'Rabbi Yehuda Shemar B'Shum Rav Elazar ben Azariah. quotes the same thing that we just said before. Take that out of here. That's not right. Allah is not like him. So Rabbi Yochanan, I reiterate to Rabbi Yanai, to Tzali, and other Tzali. Yochanan testifies that he saw Rabbi Yanai daven, and then immediately daven again. What did he prove from that? He was davening twice because it was Shabbos, and on Shabbat he davened Shachrit, and then Musaf. So he davened Musaf be Yechidut. So maybe he wasn't so focused. When he davened the first time around, he didn't have Kavona, and therefore he had to repeat Shemone Esrei. Wait a minute, take a look at who's testifying here. Rabbi Yochanan is the one testifying. Rabbi Yochanan is a Gavur Rabba. He's not going to just testify about any willy-nilly thing. He made sure he knows what he's talking about, and when he knows what he's talking about, he's testifying that he davened two in a row. Two in a row means davened Shachrit and Musaf, and he davened with by himself. That shows you that even b'chidut you can daven Musaf. What's interesting here is that the Mishnah only has this with regards to Musafim. Why does the Gemara not discuss this? The Shachrit, Mincha, any other tefillah? The answer is that all the other tefillot, we said, k'neged avot tiknum, and we had other arguments k'neged karbanot tiknum. By Musaf, we said that everybody agrees, Keneged Karbanot Tiknum, there is no Av for Musaf. And that has implications. The fact that Tefillat Musafim is only Keneged Karbanot has implications, first of all, for things like Tashlumim. There is no Tashlumim because Avar Yomo Batel Karbano. So there's no Tashlumim for Musafim. Also, if one finds themselves by accident in Tefillat Musaf, they stop right away. They don't continue to daven and finish the Brocha, they stop right away. Another Afamina might be this, which is that Musaf might be after daven with the Sibur and not be Yechidut. And that has to do with something that Rav Soloveitchik mentions in Shirim Lezich Aviyu Mori, that what the idea of a minion is, a person who davens with a minion as if they are a part of entire Klal Yisrael. So they've joined through the minion with all of Klal Yisrael to daven together. The minion is a representation of Klal Yisrael. And we know that a Korban, especially a Korban Sibur like the Musaf, requires the whole Sibur to be a part of it. And therefore, maybe over here, the demand for minyan by Tefillat Musafim is related to that fact, that it's only Keneged HaKarbanot. So I just want to suggest that that's why the Mishnah focuses on Musaf as being the issue, or the Tanaim focuses on Musaf being the minyan, not any of the other Tefillot, because Musaf alone is Keneged HaKarbanot. Okay, Rabbi Ami Vervasi. Even though they had 13 shuls to go to in Tveria, Lo Avamatzei Ela Beni Amudei. They would daven between the pillars of the Beit Midrash, Heichad Abu Garsu, the place that they learned. So they gave precedence to where they learned versus going to a Beit Knesset. Beit Midrash has a higher Kedusha, especially the one that you learn in, and therefore one should try to daven there. Mishonim argue here whether they daven with a minion or not. Is it better to daven in Beit Midrash even without a minion? Or is it only better to daven in Beit Midrash when you have a minion, even though it's not Barobah Madre Melech? What are you giving up over here in order to daven Beit Midrash? And that depends on what you think they did over here. Do you think they davened with a minion, or do you think they davened by Yechidut? Itmar, Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi Mishum Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu over here being Rav, mentioned that before. The Gemara uses Rabbeinu to refer to Rebbe, and Rabbeinu to refer to Rav. To look in the context, who's speaking, or if you're talking about Amoraim, later Amoraim or earlier Amoraim, that will determine whether it's Rebbe or Rav. I say, Amar Alochla ki Rebbe Yehuda, Shamar Mishum Rebbe Lozim Nazayah. Aloch is like Rebbe Yehuda in the name of Rebbe Lozim Nazayah. V'chia b'ava tzali, v'hadar tzali. Chia b'ava davened, and then he davened again. I'm like, Rabbi Zera, my time, Ovid Marhochi. Why'd you do this? Ilay Mishlo dikivin mardate. What, you didn't have focus on your first Shemoneh Esrei? Amar Rabbi Lezer. Lola mimola damen atzmo. Im yachol kavein at libo yitvelo. Vim lava yitvelo. A person take assessment of himself before he davens. If he can mekaven the tefillah, then he can go ahead. Can't be mekaven the tefillah, shouldn't daven. So you shouldn't have davened if you didn't have proper kavana. Elo dulo yidkar mar deresh yarcha. You forgot it was Rosh Chodesh. You forgot it was Rosh Chodesh today, and you forgot yelo v'yovo. Batanya, we have a bright tatav lo yiskir shor Rosh Chodesh barvit in machzirin oto. Person forgets yelo v'yovo and mariv. Then he's going to go back, but there you'll cholom Rabbi Shachri, because he can say it in the morning. Tosafot wipes this out of the girsa, says this does not belong in the Braita. B'shacharit, in the morning, ein makzirin otom, you should cholom Rabbi Musafim. Get yellow b'yavon on Shachrit, you don't have to go back over it, because you can say it in Musaf. Musafim, you forget to talk about Rosh Chodesh and Musaf, ein makzirin otom, you should cholom Rabbi Mincha. Get you have a Mincha time. Amalei, la vitmar Allah, wasn't that Braita qualified? By Amar Rabbi Yochanan, b'tzibur shanu. That's only true when you're in a tzibur. That's not true of the Yachid. Yachid misses Yalav Yav, he's got to repeat it. What does it mean, b'tzibur shanu? Rashi says, Mishum d'sham elei me'ashatz. You can hear it in the Chazorah d'shatz. You missed Yalav Yav in your Shemoneh Esrei. If you stand and listen to the shatz afterwards, you can be Yotze. Very good. So that's the question. How does that relate to Shacharit and Mincha, and those ask on Rashi's pshat about listening to the shats. And again, Tosafot mentioned this idea before. You also have to believe, when you forgot Yalav Yovo, according to Rashi, that the only problem was that you forgot Yalav Yovo. It doesn't ruin your Shmon Esrei. Your Shmon Esrei is fine. You just got to make up Yalav Yovo. Bahag, Mefaresh, Lav, Shatz. Mishom Tirchad Tzibura. In Chazar HaShatz, if you forget Yalav Yovo, don't go back, because it's a huge Tirchad Tzibura to go back. You'll say it again. You'll catch it on Musaf. You'll catch it at Mincha. You'll say it then. There is one third opinion, which is, if you are the Shliach Tzibur, and it's Tefila B'Lachash, you forgot Yalav Yovo, then you don't have to repeat your Shmon Esrei, you'll say it when you are doing Chasad HaShat, that'll count towards your davening. So three different opinions as to how that works over here. Kama Yishev and Tefila Tefila. If you have to daven two Tefilot, whether it's Shachrin and Musaf, whether it's a Chova and then a Nedava or a Tashlumim, how much do you have to wait in between them? Rav Huna and Rav Chista. Chanamar Kadesh Titchonein Da'ato Olav. Chanamar Kadesh Titcholel Da'ato Olav. Rashi claims that they mean the same thing. The translations I saw in English were titchonein was pleading or suppliant, and titcholel was beseeching and interceding. So the manda amar kidei titchonein dato alav ki yudichtiv vaitchanan al Hashem. So there's etchanan al Hashem, I pray to Hashem. The chonein is the state of being that you need to be in order to daven. Manda amar kidei titcholel dato alav dichtiv vayichal Moshe. That when Moshe went to beseech Hashem, to pray to Hashem. So that's the state of mind that you need to be in order to approach Hashem. Amar Rav Anan, Amar Rav. Now this Gemara here, is a couple of lines here, creates major waves and earthquakes. Tav lo izkir Rosh Chodesh Arvit. He didn't say Yalav Yovo at Ma'ariv time. Ein machzir noto. V'shein Beit Din mekadeshin to Chodesh El Beyom. Because Beit Din's not mekadesh at night, it's only mekadesh during the daytime. Amar Meir Mistavra Milto Dera B'Chodesh Malay. Makes sense that a Chodesh Malay, we're going to have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. Aval becholish chaser makzir noto. But if it's a one day Rosh Chodesh, that doesn't make sense. You should have to go back. Samalei Rav Asher Meimar, nuh-uh. Michtei Rav Taima Kamar. Did Rav qualify his statement? Did he say anything? All he said is Malei chaser Malei Malei Alaloshna. He didn't differentiate between Malei chaser. He said period. If you by Mariv miss Yalav Yovo, you don't daven. Tosafot over here brings down different opinions. He brings down an opinion that applies to both days. That's what the Gemara said here. Rav Ashi said, applies to both days. That's the halacha. No matter when you miss it. The first night of Rosh Chodesh, the second night of Rosh Chodesh, you don't go back. But then he brings other opinions that say you do go back. The question is, how could they say that? The Gemara is pretty explicit that you don't go back. How do they explain this Gemara? So now you have to take a little bit of a step back, which is, why is Beis Din not Mekadesh the Chodesh at night? So the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot claims, based on the Michilta Rashbi, it's based on the pasuk, "Shemarta the chukah zot umada miyamim yamima." Yamim yamima means that only during the daytime you mekadesh the chodesh. Yamim yamima is referencing kiddush hachodesh. So that's Rambam. Rambam says basically it's a gzeirat hakatuv. On the other side, you have the Ramban and the Ran who say it's based on the pasuk that's brought down from Tehillim, "Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesli yom chalgenu tichok tishrahu mishpat l'leikei Yaakov." Gemara dashes from that. Kesli yom chalgenu is referring to Rosh Hashanah. And Chok Yisrael Mishpat is during the day. So only during the daytime are you Mekadesh the Chodesh. Just like Mishpat is during the day, so too Kiddush HaChodesh is during the day. That's the Drasha. The Ramban and the Ran take that literally and say, it's like a regular case, like a Beis Din case. A regular Beis Din case, where you can only do it during the day, so too Rosh Chodesh can only do it in the day. It's basically a court session. Court's only in session during the day. So too by Kiddush HaChodesh can only apply during the day. There's a Rashbam in Baba Batra in the middle there that says that, yes, he learns it out the same pasuk as the Ramban and the Ran because of the Gemara and Sanhedrin, but nevertheless, he says that the dinim are different. By Kiddush HaChodesh, there's something you can accept testimony at night. There are other dispensations, so it's something that sits in the middle. Why is that important? Because the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, there's a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah where Rav Elazar Rabbi Tzadok says, when it comes to Mekadesh, the Chodesh, when you're doing it bizmano, when you're doing it on the chaser, then you have to mekadesh the chodesh. But if the Rosh Chodesh is going to turn out to be that you're going to have a 30-day month, and it's going to be, Rosh Chodesh is going to be the 31st, be the new month, over there, the Gemara says, shekvar kidshua min hashamayim, they were mekadesh it in heaven. What does that mean, mekadesh it in heaven? Well, that will relate back to what you think the issue is by Beit Din. And on that, we have a number of items. One is, many of the Rishonim believe that Kiddush Shemayim is just like Kiddush Beit Din. In Shemayim, they work exactly like they work in Beit Din. And therefore, the Tosfot in Sanhedrin says that in Shemayim, they also are Mekadesh in the morning. Just like Beit Din is Mekadesh in the morning, so too they are Mekadesh in the morning. And the Rambam also seems to be saying something along those lines. The other possibility is that Kiddush Shemayim is even at night. They're not bound by the rules of Beit Din. That the Smag says. The Smag says that the B'Shamayim are Mekadesh at night. And the Shekel HaKodesh also says that. The other possibility is that Kiddush Shemayim is a din b'fnei atzmo. They do it totally differently there. And that's brought down by the Tosafot and the Yesh Mefarshim in Sanhedrin, the Magen Giborim, and seems might be even in the Rambam as well. They suggest that Kiddush HaKodesh by Shemayim is at the Molad itself. The actual Molad. 29 and a half days and 793 Kohalakim, that's when the Kiddush HaKodesh happens by Shemayim. Irrespective of 29 and 30 down here. So that has its own din totally. Or, like you were suggesting, Ronnie, is Kiddush Memela. The Tosefta suggests this, the Rambam might also be saying this, the Or Sameach clearly says this, that it happens Memela. You don't have to do anything. If you're not Mekadesh HaKodesh, there's only one choice left. That's the last day. So what it means, Min HaShemayim, doesn't mean there's any active Kiddush. It means that it's going to happen by itself. So all of these have impact in terms of Yalla V'Yovel. Because it depends on the second night, might be different than the first night. If you believe that Beit Din functions just like Beit Din HaShemal, affects like Beit Din Zelmato, then why is there any difference? There's no Kiddush HaKodesh at night, first night or the second night. But according to those opinions that Kiddush Shemayim is different, then by the second night there is a difference than the first night, because the second night might entail Kiddush HaKodesh. And you might be Mekadesh HaKodesh on the second night. I'm not going to delve into it, I'll send you out the Makorah, but the 2 days of Rosh Chodesh also, the Mefarshim, in relating to this, argue about why there are 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. Some say it's Mispeka Diyoma. Others say it's Kiddush HaAchad, like Rosh Hashanah. And that also has a Nafkamina here. The last thing is, if you forget Yalla V'Yovel on the second night of Rosh Chodesh, what should you do? So you have the Tosfot in Brachot, our Tosfot over here, the Rambam, the Tur, the Beit Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berura, Ber Yehuda, the Pnei Yeshua, all Paskin, you don't have to go back. Second night, same as the first night. On the other side of the table, there's a Tosfot over here that brings the Yesh Mefarshim. Beit Yosef brings from the Orchot Chaim, the Lechem Mishnah, the Magen Avraham, the Pri Chodesh, the Or Sameach, and the Pnei Yeshua all bring opinions that you do have to repeat it. On the second night of Rosh Chodesh, you do have to repeat Shmon Esrei, because they were Mekadesh the Chodesh, it's not true. And for all different reasons, they bring different reasons why you have to say that you have to repeat Shmon Esrei on the second night. Because it's a Safek Brachot, Safek Drabanan, we're not going to force you to repeat Shmon Esrei if you forget Yalla V'Yovel on the second night. But one should try to be more careful on the second night, because it's not so clear that one is Yotze if they miss Yalla V'Yovel on the second night of Rosh Chodesh. And now we're going to begin the new parak with the Mishnah. Person has to be in the right frame of mind in order to start davening. He has to be focused, reverent, aware of the fact that he's about to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chasidim HaRishonim Hayu Shohim Sha'achat to Mitpalalim. They used to wait an hour. They used to come to shul, sit down, wait an hour, and then daven. So they could focus properly and that they could get themselves into the right state of mind in order to daven. Even if a king asks or greets him, he does not reply to him. This is as opposed to Kriyat Shema, where we had all the rules about when you're allowed to interrupt, who you're allowed to interrupt for. By Shemon Esri, when you're standing before the king, there are no interruptions. Even if there's a snake wrapped around his ankle, his heel, he should not interrupt his Shemon Esri. How do we know this? Because the Pasuk says, Vihi Marat Nefesh. By Tfilat Hana, it says that she was very bitter. Because she was very bitter about her situation. And maybe that's why she was here on Marat Nefesh. Maybe that's not the definition of what it means to stand in Tfilah, or what the frame of mind that you have to be in to stand in Tfilah. Ella Amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina Mehocha. Ba'ani Barov Chastecha Vovetecha Ishtacha Ve'el Heichal Kodshecha Be'iratecha. So it sounds like David HaMelech is saying that he only approached the Mikdash Be'ira. Imai Dilma David Shaini. Dava Mitzara Nafshei Barach Meituva. Because he's a davin a lot. So therefore he had to prepare himself properly. And he had to be in a different state of mind or frame of mind than a person who's normally approaching Hashem. Amar Yishu Ben Levi Mehocha. Ishtach Vod Hashem Behadrat Kodesh. Bow down to Hashem in the glory of the holiness. Al tikra behadrat, ela becharedat. Charedat meaning in the fear of. You have to approach Hashem when you come to bow before Him with fear. When it says, Dilma, Dolom Eimelecha, hadrat mamash. How do you know that you darshan as charedat, as being fear rather than hadrat, to adorn oneself? Like Rav Yehuda used to get himself ready in order to daven. He used to pretty himself up, get his clothing put on properly. Similar to what we had said earlier in the Masechta with regards to Hikon Likrat Elokecha. It is a demand that when you approach Hashem to put yourself in the right state of mind, the state of being, and to be dressed appropriately when you come before Hashem. So this is another requirement that you approach Hashem b'hadar. So Amar Lo Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Ben Yochel. The pasuk from here: Ivdu et Hashem bi'ira, begilu birada. You should worship Hashem bi'ira with fear, begilu, and you should rejoice while trembling. My begilu birada. What does it mean to rejoice while trembling? Amar Vader b'matnam Rav b'malkum gila sham tehei re'ada. And the place that there is gila, where there is song, then sham tehei re'ada. There should be trembling or fear. If you remember back, Rashi on Daf Bavu Med Aleph does the same thing, speaks about b'makom rina, sham tehei tefila. Abaye avayotiv kamei derabo. He was sitting before Rabbo, v'chazi yadav kabodach tuva. Saw that he was joking around a little too much. Amar v'gilu birada. Ktiv, doesn't it say that you have to rejoice but be in trembling? You have to have a certain amount of reservation in your behavior? So amarle ana tefillin menachno. I have tefillin, I'm wearing tefillin. And as Rashi points out, v'emei dut. It's clear that I am a servant and subservient to a Gadosh Baruch Hu because I'm wearing his tefillin, and that will keep me within check. That will make sure that I don't exceed my bounds in terms of the laughter or humor here. Again, Rabbi Yirmiyah was sitting before Rabbi Zerah, and he saw again that he was joking too much. It says whenever there is sadness, there'll be more. So Amalei, Ano, Tefillin Menachno, he gave him the same answer that we just saw before. I'm wearing tefillin, so that will keep me in check. Marbere Dervino, but he lubo de bre. Maravino made a wedding for his son. Chazinu Rabbanu Dava Kabad Chay Tuva. He saw that the Rabbanan were a little too free-spirited, a little too frivolous. Aiti Kasa de Mukra, he brought a very expensive cup. As Rashi points out, kosher zuchit levana, made of white glass that we saw before in the Masechta, something that's very expensive. But arba me'ezuzah, it was worth 400 zuz. B'tavar kamayim, smashed in front of him, v'atzivu. And then they were saddened, or they all became serious. They got them into a much more serious frame of mind. He broke glass for that. Tosafot here mentions at the top of the Amud, mikana agul l'shaber zuchit b'nisuin. From this derives the minhag to break glass or to break a goblet at the wedding. Now, what's interesting is that this isn't the source for this matter of breaking the glass at the weddings. The practices of Zecha the Churban are actually mentioned in the Gemara of Baba Batra, and none of them that are mentioned are breaking the glass. And Rabbi Yehuda Yosef mentions that the practice here to break the glass is because of Gilu Birada, nothing to do with Zechar HaKurban. They're two separate issues and not connected. Obviously, over time, the Minhagim brought them together, and that practice became for Zechar HaKurban, instead of doing the things that are mentioned in Baba Batra, that this breaking of the glass became the vehicle for creating the seriousness around Korban HaBayit, and not just the Gilu Birada. Okay, we'll stop over here.